If asking your mate down the pub about vaping, here's what they probably say. No one agrees if it's safer or not, so you might as well smoke anyway. Now what your mate needs is a Cochrane review. All the facts have been checked at least twice. They'd find there's a lot that the experts agree on and might give you different advice.
Hi, my name is Nicola and I'm a researcher based at the University of Oxford in the UK.
And I'm Jamie and I'm a researcher based at the University of Massachusetts Amherst in the United States.
We are both members of the Cochrane Tobacco Addiction Group. Welcome to this edition of Let's Talk E-Cigarettes. This podcast is a companion to a research project being carried out at the University of Oxford, where every month we research the e-cigarette research literature to find new studies. We then use these studies to update our Cochrane systematic reviews of e-cigarettes for smoking cessation and interventions for quitting vaping. This type of review is called a living systematic review, and in each episode we start by going through the studies we found that month and then go into more detail about a particular study or topic related to e-cigarettes.
This month we ran our searches on the 1st of June 2025. We found one new ongoing study of an e-cigarette intervention for smoking cessation and two new ongoing studies of interventions for vaping cessation. We also found two new completed studies of interventions for vaping cessation, which we'll tell you about in a nutshell.
Our first new included study was written up by Jamie Hefner from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center, Seattle, and their colleagues. They investigated a smartphone app and text messaging intervention based on acceptance and commitment therapy that was designed to help young adults stop vaping. They recruited 61 people aged 18 to 30 years, and randomised them to the app and texting program or to a minimal control condition. Small numbers were abstinent from both smoking and vaping overall, however slightly higher numbers were abstinent in the intervention arm, and due to the promising acceptability, the researchers aimed to evaluate the program's effectiveness further. The study was funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse.
The second new study of an intervention for quitting vaping is a pilot trial from Amanda Palmer and her team at the Medical University of South Carolina in the US. This study was funded by the American Cancer Society, the National Institute on Drug Abuse in the US, Hollands Cancer Center, and South Carolina Clinical and Translational Research Institute. In this pilot feasibility trial, 46 people who both smoked and vaped, in other words, dual users at baseline, were randomized to a 28-day supply of nicotine replacement therapy in one of three doses. All arms included patches and gum. This study was small, so it was underpowered to detect clear differences between arms, but the higher dose arms appeared more effective than the standard dose. The authors concluded that higher doses of nicotine replacement therapy are feasible and promising in people who vape and smoke, and that this should be evaluated further in a larger trial. For this month's deep dive, I interviewed Lauren McMillan from Stirling University in Scotland about her process evaluation of the SKETCH trial. In brief, SKETCH is a smoking cessation trial funded by the British National Institute of Health Research. The study was based in homeless centers, and the intervention group received an e-cigarette intervention. I'll leave it to Lauren to tell you more. Okay, can you tell us about your background and what got you into e-cigarette research?
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, my name's Lauren McMillan. I'm a research assistant at the University of Stirling. My background is mostly in psychology. So I did a master's in health psychology, and that got me really interested in like health behaviour change interventions, and particularly among marginalised groups. So I did some work with people experiencing homelessness. And my master's project was around something totally different to e-cigarettes, but it was looking at how women who are homeless manage their periods and how they like make sense of that. And yeah, so completely different. As soon as I finished my master's, this job came up at Stirling. And I think because it was a behaviour change intervention and it was based in Centres for Homelessness, yeah, it kind of brought those two together. And yeah, to be honest, this was my first research role and my first experience of doing any e-cigarette research.
Okay. And how are you finding it? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I think it was like quite a good time to start because, yeah, I came on board in 2022 and it was quite an interesting time to be a part of e-cigarette research, just with the rise in disposables. And yeah, everything's been moving so quickly since then. And yeah, it's a really kind of interesting and slightly controversial, or there's always kind of two sides to area of research to be working in.
Absolutely. Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about the Sketch trial? What did it set out to look at?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it's called Project Sketch, which stands for Smoking Cessation Trial in Centres for People Experiencing Homelessness. And it's a cluster randomised control trial. And that just means that they're randomised at the centre level rather than at the individual level. So we had 32 centres located across Scotland, England and Wales. And they were a mix of drop-in centres and also some residential centres where people were staying temporarily. And yeah, what it did was, so in the intervention arm, everybody was given e-cigarette. It was like a reusable e-cigarette. And also they got up to 4 weeks worth of e-liquid. They could choose between different flavours and different strengths. And then in the control arm, they were signposted to the local stop smoking service. So that was called usual care. And yeah, we followed people up for 6 months. So everybody was a daily smoker. And we looked at whether they had abstained from smoking at each follow-up time point. But we were also looking for changes in smoking behaviour, so reductions, and also things like changes in their smoking practices, so certain like risky smoking behaviours and things like that. And one thing to note was that we trained the staff in each of the centres. So it was just really important to have like a real world setting. So yeah, I think we ended up training over 200 staff across the 200 centres. So they had like a tour training session designed by Debbie Robson at King's College. And this went over some of the kind of background around, you know, the high prevalence of smoking amongst people experiencing homelessness, and then also some like myth busting around the use of e-cigarettes and the practicalities of like how to use the devices as well.
That's such an impressive trial, huge, and I can imagine onboarding 32 different centers was no small task. So we are interviewing you today because of your work specifically on the process evaluation. Mm-hmm. To start off, can you just like tell us what a process evaluation is and why they're important?
Yeah, absolutely. So process evaluations are really important for looking at why an intervention does or doesn't work, particularly when it's quite a complex intervention and there's multiple different components. It really breaks it down to see exactly kind of what are the mechanisms behind the intervention and what are these mechanisms, or which mechanisms are producing changes in behavior. So yeah, specifically our process evaluation had two aims. So we looked at context, so the culture within the centers, the geography, and how this would influence the implementation of the intervention. And then we looked more specifically at the mechanisms through which the intervention produced changes in smoking behavior. And for that, we used something called the COMB model, which I knew from my health psychology background, so that was quite nice. But yeah, that basically says that there's like three components that need to be present for a behavior change to occur. And those are capability, opportunity, and motivation. So it was really useful to have that to design the intervention. But then also when we were analyzing all the data that we had from the process evaluation, we could see maybe which areas were lacking.
Perfect. So can you talk us through your main findings?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll start with the main trial findings. So the primary outcome was looking at abstinence at the 6 month follow-up. So it was quite a strict outcome. It was CO verified. So we did carbon monoxide readings at each time point, and we didn't find a significant difference between the intervention and the control group at the final follow-up time point. But we did see a lot of like temporary quitting. So 7 day point prevalence quitting to participants. And then also we saw a lot of reductions. So at the 6 month time point, there were much higher reductions. And some of those were greater, like up to 80% reductions.
Wow.
In the amount that they were smoking.
Awesome.
So yeah. And then from that, looking at the process evaluation, we just kind of wanted to see, you know, what was it that meant that people weren't able to abstain at the 6 month like follow-up time point. But maybe like if we could shed a bit more light on these reductions and if people were changing their like smoking habits and things like that. And we did, we found, so looking at the COMB, the participants had really like high levels of capability to use the e-cigarettes. So they would kind of talk about how they'd formed new vaping habits. So maybe they would have a cigarette in the morning and then they would vape throughout the day and then they would have one at night. Or whereas before they were kind of smoking continuously throughout the day. Also, participants would say how they'd gone out and started experimenting with different devices and different e-liquids and really took to it pretty well from the ones that we spoke to. And then in terms of opportunity, so that's kind of like the context and the environment that people were in. Yeah, we found that there was really high levels of smoking culture within the centres. So a lot of kind of sharing cigarettes and being offered cigarettes. It was a really big part of the centres. So yeah, that was maybe an area that had hindered the intervention. So a lot of people kind of using their e-cigarettes and then relapsing back to smoking because people are, you know, offering them cigarettes. And then, yeah, motivation. Yeah, we found that people were really motivated. And when you speak to people, they do say like, oh, they, you know, they want to quit smoking and they feel they've now got the tools to do it because they've got these devices and they know how to use them. But the people that were taking part, you know, obviously they were accessing homelessness services. They've got a lot going on and they don't have like a stable living environment, and they would use smoking as a way to cope with stress, which we know a lot from previous research. So yeah, for them, it was that they wanted to quit, but it maybe just wasn't the right time for them to quit. And the smokers that we recruited, like, they didn't have to necessarily want to stop or were motivated to stop. They just had to take part in the trial and get the e-cigarette and give it a go. So yeah, that was really interesting. And yeah, very encouraging for future research as well, I think.
Awesome. And did you talk to the staff members at all?
Yeah. So we did interviews with participants and also interviews with two staff members across 8 of the sites. And that was like usually a service manager and then also a staff member who had actually delivered the intervention to the participants. And yeah, they loved it. They really enjoyed doing the training and kind of spoke about the benefits of the training for overcoming some of their own misperceptions around vaping and also being able just to speak to their clients about smoking. It's not something that is usually addressed like within these environments. There's a lot of focus on like alcohol or other substance use, but smoking is one of the things that don't really seem to be addressed within centres. So I think just being able to open up and have those conversations with clients, and I think going forward, they said to be able to offer people that level of support within the centres would be really useful because the smoking rates are so high and it's one of the things that they don't offer. And some of them had like stop smoking advisors come into the centres like in the past, but the way that the stop smoking service in the UK works is it's quite strict, and like you have to be there every week and you have to like make those appointments and you have to be showing to be like reducing and things like that. So I think, yeah, having something that's, you know, meeting people where they're at and being able to offer that kind of level of flexibility worked really well in the centres.
That's so impressive. Thank you. Did anything you find surprise you?
I think the thing that surprised me most, not necessarily a finding, but just how open people were to taking part. And when we started this study, there was a lot of concern about whether we would be able to recruit the 32 centres and whether we would be able to recruit the 480 odd participants. And yeah, I think that was just what surprised me the most, was that people were willing to give it a go and to take part in the research and to actually be able to follow people up that don't have like a fixed address. Necessarily a 6-month follow-up time points. Yeah, it was quite incredible. And yeah, just the positive feedback that we got from the participants who were taking part. Yeah, I think that was probably what surprised me the most.
Well, that's really encouraging. That is lovely to hear. All right, well, what do you think should be done next following these findings and following this study?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think having a intervention that's more led by the services would be really nice. I know that some people in the team have spoken about having like a kind of stop smoking service within the centres and having more cessation options available. So within this intervention, it was the e-cigarette kit that was the intervention and the e-liquid. But maybe having something that's a bit more tailored, or having that element of like behavioural support as well, or other options, cessation options, and just having something that's kind of ongoing. Yeah, definitely. Because it's a group that has really, really high smoking rates that don't seem to be coming down. So yeah, I think just exploring different options and to keep this population engaged in the future would be really important.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. That is it from me. Congratulations to you and the team. This is such an impressive study and it is just so encouraging to hear.
That was a really great interview, Jamie, because I think it really showed the importance of kind of process evaluation in understanding how things work and how we can potentially improve our approaches as a result. So it was super useful. And I think another big thing I took away, especially as someone who's also doing work that looks at embedding stop smoking support within settings outside of those traditional healthcare settings, is that it was really encouraging that the centres were very willing to take part and the staff were very happy with the intervention. As you know, people can be worried that they just won't have the time to address this, or they might be worried about raising smoking with service users. However, having another tool in their toolbox can actually feel really empowering. You know, it really gives them the opportunity to offer people something that, you know, has the potential to really help them. And we've also found that service users themselves are very open to talking about smoking and see the links between smoking and other areas of their life, such as finances, for example.
Totally. And I just think it is so nice and refreshing to see a big trial in people who are experiencing homelessness. We know that that group is traditionally very much underrepresented in research, partly because of concerns around things like the feasibility of following up over time. But this team did an amazing job at running this trial, and I really hope it serves as kind of reassurance and inspiration for other people thinking of doing work in this setting. So that's it from us this month. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks so much to Lauren for telling us all about their process evaluation. And please do tune in next month for another episode of Let's Talk E-Cigarettes. Please subscribe on iTunes or Spotify and stay tuned for our next episode. Thank you to Jonathan Livingston Banks for running searches, to Elsa Butler for producing this podcast, and of course to all of you for tuning in. The music is written by Johnny Berliner and I and performed by Johnny. Our living systematic reviews are supported by funding from Cancer Research UK. The views expressed in this podcast are those of Nicola and I and do not represent those of the funders. Switching to vaping is safer than smoking, may help you quit in the end. But remember to mention the findings we have, can't tell us what'll happen long term. Even though we know vaping is safer than smoking, we may still find cause for concern. If you're thinking of switching to vaping, do it! That's what the experts agree. Smoking's so bad for you, they all concur. The vaping beast burning, there's much to learn. Of effects long term yet to be seen. Switch to vaping.